I'd like for you to get your Bibles, and I want you to turn to two portions of Scripture this morning. The first one is in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 1. And as you know, we've been looking at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, for the past 3-4 weeks. But we're going to add a little bit more today. But as you're turning to Matthew, chapter 1, I would like for you to put a marker there and then turn to the Gospel of Luke as well, chapter 1. Put a marker in both places. I want to speak with you today on the subject of Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our Savior. And if you don't mind, we're going to read the short Christmas story here in chapter 1 of Matthew again. And then we'll zero in on a few verses. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ happened this way. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, had in mind to divorce her privately. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For he who is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus.'" I want you to say Jesus. "Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all of this occurred to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, saying, "A virgin shall be with child and will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is interpreted, "God with us." Then Joseph, being awakened from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and remained with his wife, and did not know her until she had given birth to her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus. I want you to say Jesus. Jesus, our Savior. Let's pray. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to be able, Lord, to share your heart with this, your people. Lord, it is the Christmas season. And it's during this time, Lord, that we look to you. And I pray that, Lord, we would never forget the reality of why Jesus was born. I pray that, Lord, it would make sense within our spirit, within our heart. And we ask that, Lord, you would be glorified in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Today we're living in a culture and in a time when we are told by those, even some of those that carry doctorate degrees in our institutions and in our universities, that there is no such thing as sin. That man was just an accident in history, just kind of happened to have the right ingredients to form the first human cell or the first cell, and then just eventually became a human being. And if that was true, then all humanity and all the animate creation would just be an accident. There would be no value or worth to human existence, much less any animal on the face of the earth. And if that really was the case, there would be no such thing as sin. Sin would be a non-issue. But the reality of Scripture teaches otherwise, for the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." And contrary to what these fools would say, for that's what the Bible describes those that declare that God does not exist as, he calls them fools. Despise what these fools would say, the Bible says that God created all things, and when God initially created all things, he created them perfect and without any issues, without no problems. The Bible says that God looked on his creation and said it was good. And then when he created man, he said, "Behold, it is very good." God created everything in perfection and beauty, and there were no issues in God's original creation. But the Bible begins to paint a picture of an issue that would impact every human being from the time of man's first sin until now. And so man would be left with an issue, a problem, that would separate him from God. And when I say him, I mean in general, that means both he and her. Man's problem since the very beginning is sin. Sin is the problem. Sin is the reason why there is death, why there is dying, why there is oldness, why we get old and our bodies begin to break down. How we begin to start out so innocent, but that which is starting in order falls apart into disorder. It's a law, even that the wisdom and the wise have to admit to. It's the law of entropy. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. The law of entropy is that there is the state of perfection or order, and it goes into disorder. So the child is born, it is an innocent baby in this world, but because there is this law of entropy, this innocent baby begins to grow, and where it's supposed to live forever, that's how God created man originally to be. Sin, because it's in the human race and in all of creation, it causes things to break down. Sickness and disease, even the sicknesses that are brought through genetics, are not because it's our parents' fault. It's because of sin in the human race. Death is the reality of sin. And so man is in a world that has been cursed. It's falling apart. We were talking just last night, a few of us, how that there hasn't been much snow this year. And we began to contemplate, how will the summer be if we don't get a good snow? Will it be dry? Will there be drought? And all of these things, to be honest with you, in nature and in human nature, in regards to sin and sinfulness, is the result of man's original sin, which every man and woman is born with. And when we understand the birth of Jesus, and we understand the real meaning of Christmas, we understand that God had in His mind a way to save man. And the way to save him would be to deal with man's sin. You see, if God had just come to do miracles in the person of Jesus Christ, that would have done nothing for you and me. Because that was then, this is now. But Jesus ultimately came to be the Savior. And we see that in His name, Jesus. Amen. For the Scripture says in chapter 1, verse 21, she will bear a son. And the angel told Joseph, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Yeshua in the Hebrew. Joshua, the Savior of people. That word in Hebrew means Yahweh saves. Yeshua, Jesus, Joshua, however we want to say it. His very name would proclaim to everyone in that day why He had come. And that's why you and I still preach Jesus to people. Because He alone is the Savior. Amen? You see, Jesus didn't just come to be the innocent baby in a manger. He came to live a human life that was not stained with human sin. In Romans chapter 5, we read about the last Adam. And when you think about Adam, and you think about the original Adam, the very first man created by God, along with his wife Eve, they were created as perfect human beings. When you think about the original Adam, there was not sin inside of him as is in you and me. It was outside of him. It was external. It was not a part even of the original creation. And when you think about that original man, there was no sin in him. There was no sin a part of him. He was a perfect man. But God told that perfect individual not to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that they did, they would surely die. And what's amazing is this, is that Adam, originally with a complete human will, with the ability to choose between right and wrong, with the ability to choose to love or to hate, man with a free human will, not an automaton, not a robot, but someone with the power of choice, was told to live a particular way, but if they would choose another one, it would bring death. And as we all know, the serpent, which was speaking through the power of Satan himself, would deceive Eve, and sin would enter into the human race after she would convince her husband that it was okay to eat. Every child that would be born from that point on would be born in sin. And you even see the manifestation of that sin with Cain and Abel. You all remember the story. There was praise to God that they had a young child and was a boy, more than likely because it was not other girls. And now there was this little boy, and then another one, Abel, was born, and eventually they would come and give their offerings to the Lord, and Cain was jealous of Abel, and Cain would kill Abel, and this was the manifestation of a problem, wasn't it? This manifestation of sin is a problem that you and I, every one of us as human beings, deal with daily. The stain of sin is something that resides within the human nature. There is something inside of man in regards to the fallen nature of man, the sin nature, the flesh, all these terms that describe the fallen side of humanity, that this issue causes man to want to turn away from the living God. And there would be this issue of separation between man and God as well because of the sinfulness in the human race. God is holy, man sinful, and we know this. But God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Aren't you thankful that the God that we serve is a God that loves everyone? I mean, we can think of the worst sinner, and you know what? God loves that individual. Amen? Just like He loves every one of us that are saved, washed in the blood here in this church this morning. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus and His name, Yahweh Saves, shows that God had a plan to redeem you, to save you and me. And He would do that by saving us from our sins. It's amazing what God would do through His Son Jesus Christ and would be fully accomplished on the cross and His shed blood. That would make you and me acceptable in the sight of God, that we can now be in relationship with God without anything hindering. The Bible even declares, I think it's in the book of Colossians, that every wall that was between us was removed and taken out of the way. And when you think about the completeness of what Jesus accomplished for you and me on the cross, we understand that Jesus truly is the Savior of the world. He has saved us from our sin. He has redeemed us, and He has dealt with the sin issue in us so completely that God looks upon you as His child. You have now become sons and daughters of the living God. He has given us the power through the shed blood of Jesus to be children of the living God. We are in relationship with God, and God's love for you is so powerful that He became a man to save you. He became a man to live the life that we could not live in our place. And the accomplished work of the cross was so complete that you don't need to receive Jesus over and over again. When you received Him as Lord and Savior, His blood has dealt with your sin once for all. Amen. And so when we think about the Christmas story and what that angel told Joseph in naming him Jesus, the story is showing us that Jesus came to save us from sin. Because it's sin that separated man from God. And it's sin that needs to be dealt with to bring us into that blessing of God. And so when we think about it, we must understand that when they named him Jesus, they named him Yahweh Saves. Amen. And when you hear about Yahweh or Jesus Christ, Yahweh Saves, or in other words, he is the Savior and the Anointed One, the promised Deliverer of Israel and all people. Amen. Turn to Luke chapter 1, and I want us to see the way that Luke brought this out. What I find very interesting is this, is that in Matthew chapter 1, the angel is telling Joseph, you're going to name him Jesus. But look at Luke chapter 1, and I want you to see this. Let's begin with verse 26. This is the birth of Jesus being foretold to Mary. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored, and the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And she, when she saw him, she was troubled at his words and considered in her mind what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Listen, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son and shall call his name, what does it say there? Jesus, the Savior. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. This is the Davidic covenant, a kingdom and rule. He would be the heir of David's throne and rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever and forever. But I want you to turn to chapter 2, and I want you to see this. Because, you know, when we read and we understand the Christmas story, sometimes we think that the night that Jesus was born, that he was named Jesus that night. But the custom of the Jews was different than what we think. The child was named when they were presented to the Lord in the temple. And that's when they called him Jesus. It says it here in chapter 2, verse 21. It says, when 8 days had passed and the child was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. What are you trying to focus in on, Pastor James? I found it interesting in this way. The angel told Joseph his name is going to be Jesus. And that angel told Mary his name is going to be Jesus. And how both of them knew the name of this child before that child was ever born. Amen? And it was confirmed on that day when they presented him in the temple that day and the young child was circumcised. That's what the Jews' practice was. After 8 days, they do this rite of circumcision. They named him Jesus on that day together. Amen? And they both understood by this angelic messenger that this child would be the Savior of the whole world. Yeshua saves. Did they understand the complexity? Did they understand the beauty of that child that they were then holding in their arms and the reality of how he would save them? I am not sure. I am not sure if they understood the fullness of it, but eventually, as we hear the gospel and we hear the truth of the story, we begin to understand the beauty of what Jesus came to do. Amen? He is the Savior. Jesus, the Savior. And I love the story of Scripture, how it brings out how that when he was even going to be presented there in the temple, the old man Simeon, who was told by the Spirit of God that you would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. That old man, after this young child, 8 days old, was named Jesus. He took that baby in his arms and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. Salvation is not an experience. It's a person that we experience. Amen. Jesus is the Savior. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. And I'm here to tell you during this Christmas season, as we have our little program tonight and we are focusing in on that little baby Jesus, remember Jesus came for you. Every person in this room, God loves you very much. It doesn't matter what happened last year. It doesn't matter what happened last week. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've struggled with. God loves you for who you are. There is no other one that has your name. There is no one else that has your personality, and He loves you. He doesn't want to change you into someone else. He wants you. And He wants to love you just as you are, and He will begin to change you and fashion you into the likeness of Jesus, but you will retain who you are. Amen? God loves you. And the reality of Jesus, the Savior, proves that once for all. He came to save us from our sins so that we could be in a right relationship with God Almighty and so that we can experience God in our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.